हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so Pantyalila, Chapter 5, How Prajumna the Mishra Received Instructions from Ramananda Rai. Then verses 81 to 84. To demonstrate the transcendental attributes of Ramananda Rai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Prajumna the Mishra to hear discourses from Krishna about him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knows very well how to demonstrate the qualities of his devotees. Therefore, acting like an artistic painter, he does so in various ways and considers this his personal profit. There is yet another characteristic of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. O devotees, listen carefully to how he manifests his opulence and characteristics, although they are exceptionally deep. To vanquish the false pride of so-called renunciants and learned scholars, he spreads real religious principles, even through a Shudra or low-born fourth-class man. Srila Prabhupada, when a man is generally greatly learned in the Vedanta Sutras, he is known as a Pandita, or learned scholar. Generally, this qualification is attributed to brahmanas and sannyasis. Sannyas, the renounced order of life, is the topmost position for a brahmana, a member of the highest of the four varnas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra. According to public opinion, a person born in a brahman family, duly reformed by the purificatory processes, and properly initiated by a spiritual master, is an authority on Vedic literature. When such a person is offered the sannyas order, he comes to occupy the topmost position. The brahmana is supposed to be the spiritual master of the other three varnas, namely kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra, and the sannyasi is supposed to be the spiritual master even of the exalted brahmanas. Generally, brahmanas and sannyasis are very proud of their spiritual positions. Therefore, to cut down their false pride, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached Krishna consciousness through Ramananda Rai, who was neither a member of the renounced order nor a born brahmana. Indeed, Sri Ramananda Rai was a grihastha belonging to the Sudra class. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged for him to be the master who taught Prajumna Mishra, a highly qualified brahman born in brahmana family. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, although belonging to the renounced order, took instructions from Sri Ramananda Rai. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his opulence through Sri Ramananda Rai. That is the special significance of this incident. So we see the aspect of trying to establish what is reality. It means, of course, we can look at it that there's the social position that is being discussed, the social, political, you know, the aspect of the equality, and it doesn't matter the background and all that kind of aspect, and which is true and is correct. But the more important point here is that what is actually the cause of that equality? That's coming because of the Krishna consciousness, the realization in Krishna consciousness. In other words, someone's advancement is based on the realization in Krishna consciousness, not any other factor. So, therefore, that's why the point of he may be a Brahman, he may be a, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, like this. It doesn't matter. It's the matter of how much you know Krishna. That's the point. So because Ramananda Rai, he's the one that is, the discussions with him are the discussions on Prayojana. like that. And so we see also, yes, and so that's the point that was being brought out here, is that that is the real basis of advancement. So it's not another thing, because another thing you may say, oh, he's a leader, he's a governor, he's a manager, but that qualifies him as a sudra, right? Because it's not a independent post. It's a post that's based on someone else managing for someone else. It just means you're the manager for someone else. Does that make sense? You know, like today, you have these public, what is it, or private limited, or public, I don't remember, whatever they call it, but whatever it is, there's a shareholders own the company, technically. So then you have a board to kind of see that it goes in the right direction. Technically, they work for the shareholders. And then specifically, you have the CEO. Now, he's the biggest guy in the company as far as the management goes. He's the big manager. He makes big bucks. He's very influential. But technically, according to the Vedic position, he's a shudra. He's working for the benefit of everybody else. He's not. It's not that it's his. Now, if he owned the company and he's in that position of leading it, then that's a vaishya. But he's actually working for someone else. So that's the thing, it's not always understood. So we'll take it, oh no, he's rich, he's influential, he's famous, that he has a lot of power, control, this and that. That's what makes him elevated. But actually, those things just means you have that ability, you do that. You're a big manager, you naturally manage. It doesn't that management may be in some kind of leadership role or may not be. Maybe in a supportive role. It's not the size that matters. You know? That was the... Even in the modern thing, I think it was Louis XIV slightly changed things. He became this principal. I don't know if it's there in other places, but there in America had the same kind of thing, is that the president is considered the first amongst equals. So that was the thing of Louis. He's the senior most citizen in the state. That was how he got the power, that's how he got the money, that's how he took over Europe, was because of that. And so, technically, even though he's the king and everything like that, he does put himself technically as, he makes himself a shudra, like this. You know what I'm saying? But what to do? So, these things are, that's what I'm saying, is that's not the real point. The social issue isn't the thing to gain from here. You don't quote this and then say, see, therefore everybody is equal in that. You don't use it like that. But what's being brought out here is that his authority is coming because of his Krishna consciousness. That's the strong point. And then we see what's been mentioned here, Prabhupada's mentioned here, and in this verse it is mentioning. Then another aspect, because he is basically, you could say, the person at least who gives the instructions on Prayojana. Means in the discussions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, his are the discussions on Prayojana. Right? With Rupa Goswami, then that's Abhideya. Then the other three are on Sambandha. You know, then with Prakashananda Saraswati and with is defeating all the opposing elements with Bhattacharya. Then it's also then establishing the supremacy. And then with Sanatana Goswami, it's then how the Vaishnava is going to look at that and how in his life he's going to establish his relationship with the Lord and be engaged in devotional process. So what is the perfection of Sambandha, the perfection of Abhideya, perfection of Prayojana. That knowledge, that's called Sambandha Gan. So he's the Lord of that. So that's being brought out. But now also then, goes back to the question this morning, on the Krishna Sandarbha, why we need another Sandarbha. We've already discussed Krishna from so many angles. Is that here it mentions here, it's talking about the qualities, and yet another characteristic. So it's talking about the transcendental attributes. So it's talking about the qualities of the devotee, the qualities of the Lord, and then Prabhupada mentions that again. Exhibit his opulence through Ramananda Rai. So in other words, the Lord is known as Bhagavan because of the six opulences. When you talk about Paramatma, you don't talk about the six opulences. He has, but that's not the feature. Is he's a creator, maintainer, destroyer. He's everything expands from him. He's a controller of energies. you know, in Vermont, even though the qualities are there, but you're talking about the existence of things, the ever-expanding, unchanging. These are the aspects that are brought up. So when you talk Bhagavan, you talk qualities. And that means the personal qualities. And in that, then, if it's personal, it's about the Lord and his pastimes. That means the devotees have the same qualities to be able to interact. Right? You can't have friendship unless there's common qualities.
That's why great personalities are also called Bhagavan.
Yes.
Shiva and Narada.
Yes, yes. Because that, but you're, that being brought out from the aspect of their relationship with the Lord. We'll much of the time look at it as the control. We tend to look at it generally because of our own realization from the Brahman or Paramatma platform. You know, that, okay, you know, the all expanding, all controlling, all these different aspects like that. But here is that you're bringing out the relationship of the Lord with the devotees based on the qualities. So we see as we discussed this a bit with the nectar devotion when we went through the 64 qualities. So the first 50 qualities, you see all those 50 qualities are all mentioned in relationship to basically Krishna's position and how he interacts with the devotees. Even if it's just talking a general quality, like it's talking like, let's say, you know, one of the first ones is, you know, auspicious bodily symptoms. You know, he has, I think, the 32 or something like that, you know, so many highs, so many wides, so many deeps, so like this. Then it's discussed in the context of a pastime. Right? And so all those 50, the examples are always given in connection with pastimes. Right? Then from 51, you know, to 60. Those ones then are always mentioned in connection with his lordship. And the first of those can also Shiva and Brahma may have those, may manifest, may not. Vishnu always has them in full, but they have them in partial. It's a matter of lordship. Then you see the last, so that means the Lord interacts with the Jiva based on those 50. So he has those 50, and the Jiva has those 50. It means as you do devotional service, they develop. So those 70, that 78%, that's what the pastimes go on about, the interaction. Then Krishna, and that's all the Vishnu Tattva, they all are dealing in that way. But then Krishna uniquely has four more that's special for him in Braj. And then that's the environments in which those 50 are exchanged. Right? So when he's talking about the Lord's qualities and emphasizing that, we understand this is bringing out that Bhagavan aspect. This is where it is. So we'll take, oh yeah, it's a simple thing. Lamanandara. But this is actually the highest. This is why it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is why it's Antya Leela. Right? So, yes.
So it sounds, also you mentioned it in the morning class, it sounds like for everybody else, Bhagavan is Krishna. But for us, Krishna is Bhagavan. So Krishna comes first as a person, and then he manifests, or doesn't really matter for the residents of Vrindavan. Mm. But everybody else, including, you know, Vaishnava Sampradayas, Bhagavan, who manifests as Krishna, but Krishna is not supreme. But then we take Bhagavan, you know, Krishna's two Bhagavan's vessels. We follow that. And it makes a lot of difference, actually, you know, after this explanation.
Yes. Because technically speaking, this is not something to... It's just something to understand for the taste. Other than the Gaudiyas, everyone else is dealing with Tadek Atmarupa. No one deals with Swayamrupa. Only Braj, the Brajavasis, they deal with Swayamrupa. And the fun part where we mentioned this morning, because we see with Rupa Goswami's writings, then in the pastime in Dwarka, you know, in his play, you're dealing with Swayamrupa there. Even though he's Dwarka Krishna, but it's Swayamrupa, because you notice when he mentions who's speaking, it's always Radharani, Krishna, Madhu Mangal, like this. But when they're talking to each other the pastime, then they'll say Rukmini, Satyabhama, you know, they'll say Uddhava. But he's saying, no, this is Radharani speaking, but in the pastime as Satyabhama. This is Chandravali speaking in the pastime of that. And also mentions the assistants, you know, then who they are, because they go back to the Leela, because that's his Shaivya, and so then, you know, it makes the whole dynamic of the politic that goes on, you know, for the to bring out the rasa and everything like that. So that's the whole thing, is that Krishna, his sarup, that's the origin of everything. Then from that comes the opulences. Because he can, I mean, even Paramatma has all the six opulences. But it's just a matter of which ones he's using for which function. That was an interesting point, is that how, you know, because one would, how does the Kalyana Gunas, how does that make sense? You know, that you have these six Kalyana Gunas, means the six opulences, but two are with Sankarshan, two Prajumna, two Aniruddha. It's not, and it always mentions, and Prabhupada is very careful about that, and Shastra is very careful, that no, they have all six qualities. But the point is their consorts are those two. And so they interact with those two, those consorts, therefore they manifest that mood. So Vishnu only interacts directly, you know, as the prominence with these two consorts, he's known as Sankarshan. When he deals with these two consorts, he's known as the Prajumna, and these two, he's known as Aniruddha. But when he deals with all six of them, he's known as Vasudeva. Right? Even though the others have all those opulences, but that personal, that Bhagavan aspect then happens in that way. Because otherwise, then you see is Paramatma is controlling all these, but he's controlling the energies. That's the difference. Bhagavan is having pastimes with those energies in that personal exchange based on affection. But Paramatma is controlling those energies, whether they're having an affection interaction or not. That's not the point. Right? Because you'll see is that when we get into it, it mentioned already that Jiva Goswami is saying that Paramatma, Bhagavan comes as Paramatma. So he has all those. But that's not the basis of the relationship. You know, so that's the thing. This is where it's different. It's not a different person, but he acts in appropriately for who's interacting with him, on what level they're interacting with him. You know, so that's the difference. The demigods are coming down. You know, when Krishna comes back, when they're taking the cows back, you know, Goduli. You know, then the cowherd boys are there. The demigods come down. They offer prayers and everything. They take the opportunity. You know, the cowherd boys, you know, being properly trained by their parents, are respectful and everything like that. But after they go, it's kind of like, hey, who were those dudes, you know? You see the guy in the tiger skin? So what about the guy with four heads? You know, it's like, you know, so that's what they're dealing with. The guy with the eyes all over his body. So that's then, so they never don't see Swayam Rupa. Well, those demigods, they see Tadekatma. Does that make sense?
Even if they see Krishna, to them it's Tadekatma.
Yeah, it's just like, that's what we're saying. Krishna in Dwarka, to the Dwarka Vasis, he's Tadekatma Rupa. Yes. But for Radharani Chandravali and that, he's Braja Krishna. But this, they've taken, you know, this is the continuance of the pastime. Krishna left, they entered the river, then, you know, they go to the sun god brings, you know, takes care, then he brings them back. And then that same Radharani is just now comes back as the daughter of you know, of who is it? No. Of, as Satyabhama. Satyajit. Yeah, like this and that, but they're the same person. It's just the scenario's changed, so therefore you act in that scenario. So if you appear in Kshatriyas, you do things in a Kshatriya way, but they just identify as Brajavasis. And that's why the end of the play is, let's go back. And then, you know, Krishna, yes, let's go. And then that's the... So that means this... that Dwarka pastime, they'll go back, and then everyone will only see the Tadekatma Rupa, and they'll go back to Braj. And then, so that's why you see is that overlap is Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka can be both in the category of Swayam Rupa and in the category of Tadekatma, depending upon who you are. So that he never leaves means those elements and interaction only happen with the Braj Basis. But that he's in Dwarka and he's still acting in that same way, it's going on that way for the Braj Basis. But for the Dwarka Basis, no. He's a different mood. But for the Braj Basis, he's the same. That's why then you see Gopu Kumar in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When he's in Vaikunthi, he gets out his flute, he plays for the Lord, he talks with them, and this and that. And everybody else is kind of like, you know, cut it out, you know, it's like that, you know, put away your flute, you know. That, you know. And then some come to him and say, you know, it's all right, you have that mood and all that, but you know, all these guys here, you know, chill, you know, like that. They don't understand. Then they go, and once everybody's gone, then Vishnu shows up, four arms, everything, and then, you know, nobody's around, and he pulls out his flute, two arms, and the cows are there, and the whole brudge is there, and he's, you know, the whole thing's going on. You know, and then he points out is that you want to come, this is your rati, therefore go back to the earth, and then under the guidance of the guru, then go to Goloka. In other words, from Vaikuntha, you're not going to make it there. You go from here. You know, the station's here, not there. And so then, so it's a very fine thing, because sometimes we make too much distinction between Vishnu and Krishna. But it's just a different mood depending on the devotees and the situation. So they're not. But at the same time, there is a difference in the taste of those pastimes as they unfold. Therefore, the taste of Krishna and Braj, that has a particular taste that the Braj Basis are. That's their rati. That's their attraction. So it's very, very... So this is what's coming out. These are the things. And we see is that Chaitanya Charitamrita is bringing these out, but in that, you know, way, like what we were saying, Srinivasacharya is saying about Narottam Das Thakur, that his simple poetry, Bengali poetry, that any villager can understand the language, is Shruti. It has the authority of the Veda. So in the same way, you see Krishna's Kaviraj, same way. You see, this is the authority. It means all the conclusions of all the sampradayas, of all the schools, are here in this book. That's the special thing. You know, and the acharyas then, you know, speak on different aspects because they've been given that, and Jiva Goswami then compiles that together so you understand that ontology given by Lord Chaitanya. You know, what's the epistemology, what's the ontology of Lord Chaitanya, so that it's very nicely documented. And he's doing that not because he's the senior acharya, he's doing it as the servant of Rupa and Sanatana. And so that what they're saying, others will appreciate. They're saying it in a simple language, but then all these scholars said, no, you have to say it all nice and fancy. So therefore, he says it fancy. So that's then what's happening here. So we see it's bringing out this so the Bhagavan aspect, how he as a person. So this is where the sweetness is. It's not even specifically in the mechanics of the pastime. That's going to be there because naturally the sweetest pastimes will be expressed through the sweetest mechanics, you know, sweetest situations like that. But it's not that all these other things are there. Like Vrindavan is way more opulent than Vaikuntha or Dwarka. It's like they don't even compare. But because it's about sweetness, no one really pays much attention to the opulence. Just like he's God, but they don't pay attention. You know, they can be there, it doesn't matter. But the point is it's that in the same way, the opulence in Braj is way more than everyone else, because you have the original Lakshmi there. So Radharani, why wouldn't it be more? Like that. So is that...
It's interesting in this chapter, and I'm sure it's going to come up, because what's interesting is you explained so nicely. In this chapter, you're not going to hear Raman Guru discussing Prayojana with Pradyumna Mishra. The point of the chapter is that Lord Chaitanya has sent Pradyumna Mishra to hear from Raman Guru. That's the issue of the chapter. not what he's going to hear, because we don't have, there's nothing there of their discussion.
Okay.
He's going to go back and say, so did you hear? He didn't say, what did you hear?
Yeah, did you hear? Yeah.
And at the end of the conversation, I'm wondering, is there anything else you'd like to know? But there's no...
There's no discussion, yeah. Because whatever has been discussed has already been, in Madhya Leela is already discussed.
That's right.
Now there'll be the fine points of what's going on there and the understandings and that.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's so you do have, it's not that aspect of that you're hearing from, as you pointed out, that you're hearing, that this high grade Brahman is hearing from somebody who's supposedly a Shudra. But at the same time as that brings out that aspect of culture and etiquette and that. But also at the same time, as we see, is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is acting in this way because he's bringing it out through his devotees. So that's why then Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra with Arjuna is Bhagavan. You know, with others, then it'll be Paramatma, Brahman, like this kind of aspects. You know, so like anybody who died on the battlefield went to Vaikuntha. It doesn't say they went anywhere else. You know? So that's there. But it's Bhagavan with that. So that's the thing, is where all the level in the spiritual world is all the aspect of Bhagavan. But then if Bhagavan with the flavor of Paramatma, that'll be Vaikuntha, or the flavor of Brahman would be Vaikuntha. It's the prominence. Like that. When it's about the human aspect, that would be Goloka. And when the sweetness is the main thing, that would be Braj. So it's the same Bhagavan, it's just depending on the nature. You know, like we said, it's those Vaikuntha Vasis, then it's being explained that there's three levels. So you're going to have the level that can only understand their own realization and can't appreciate anything outside of their realization. And that realization is a general realization, you know, means general meaning standard. And so then it's not a problem, because basically everyone there thinks that way. And so there's not a problem. Then, you know, that's why they're together there. But if there's slightly difference in flavor, that's why there's 24 manifestations of Vaikuntha. You know, so there's going to be Vasudeva, Narayan, this, you know, all the 24 Vishnus, like that. So then the second grade can understand that people may have a different kind of view or a different rati and all that, and they're okay with that, but there's no interest in it, but they have no problem with it. The first one will have a problem with it, so they stay together with those who have the like-minded, right? Because that's the principle, you stay with like-minded. The second group can, others have, and that's fine. It's perfectly all right. You know, so it's, therefore, then they can match these things. You know, some are in Shanta, some are in Dasya. There's the different Vaikunthas, there's all the different things like that, and that's fine. The third one is they're able to not only understand it's different, but appreciate the bhakti that's there. Therefore, you see, like in Bhishma Dev's prayers on the bed of arrows, he's talking, you know, when it comes down, he talks about the Lord, brings it up, and then he starts talking about the devotion. But then at some point, he starts talking about the devotion of the gopis. So he'll be in that third general category of they appreciate someone else's. So even though they're on a level, they're not going to do it, they appreciate that surrender of the gopis. Like that. You also see that in the women in Dwarka. They mention about the gopis. You know, the queens of Dwarka, they talk about the gopis. So everyone knows they're the most surrendered of all devotees in the cosmos. You know, that's just, I mean, of those who are at least, you know, understand or liberated, there's no question of that. But it's just that you have your taste, and so you take inspiration of them, is that they're 100% surrendered. I should also, like that, try to be 100% surrendered. But they'll still act within their rati, their taste, in their service to the Lord. So they can take inspiration there. They don't, you know, oh, they're doing that, go off here. Oh, that one's doing that, go off here. Then that's not appreciated by anybody. You know, it's a matter of you're fixed in your service and your understanding, and you can be inspired because of their devotion. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's why when you see us that we're talking about all the great acharyas, the Mahajans and that, we don't necessarily discuss what sampradaya they're from, you know, what's their rasa, anything like that. We just take their devotion and are inspired by that. Right. So, yeah. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 8.128. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna can become a spiritual master, without reference to whether or not he is a Brahmin or a sannyasi. Ordinary people cannot understand the essence of Shastra, nor can they understand the pure character, behavior, and abilities of strict followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principles. Like, because here you see character, behavior, abilities. Again, it goes back to that personal aspect. It's not the authority aspect, you know, or the spiritual position that's being, you know, analyzed. It means that personal aspect. In other words, the Bhagavan aspect is of the devotees as devotees of the Lord. The Krishna conscious movement is creating pure exalted Vaishnavas, even from those born in families considered lower than those of Shudras. This is proof that a Vaishnava may appear in any family, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.28. Kirata Hunandara Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Stumpa Yavana Kashadaya Yenye Chapapa Yad Apashraya Shraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Abhiras, Stumbas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. Right? So this will cover everybody, because certain outstanding groups are there. But if not, if you don't get counted in one of those, then we always have even those addicted to sinful acts, then we can all, you know, find shelter in that.
These are races of Kali Yugas. Essentially.
Not necessarily. They're always there. Yeah, they're always there. It's just a matter of the amount.
Oh, okay.
They're always there. You know, it's just like Manu is talking about Dravidians. That because he goes through and mentions where they come from. Like Dravidians are fallen Kshatriyas. They were Kshatriyas, but at some point they became veered from their vows and their duties, and they Dravidians. And so you see is that they're very powerful, very ferocious people, because they're actually from Kshatriya background. Kashas also, they are also fallen from the Kshatriya. So there's these different ones that were in different positions, and then they fall into these, and then they're there. So they're always there in history. Because it's a mentality. It's just in Kali Yuga they may become the prominent. You know, I mean, in other words, if you were a Kirata, Huna, Andhra, or that, you're doing really good in this age. You know, you actually have some pedigree, you know, like that. And if you're just the others addicted to sin. Yeah, okay. But, you know, so it's like... so it's like, you know, for us, fifth class man is like, you know, ooh, he's got some standards. You know. So it basically means anyone can do that. Because it's already been established that anybody within Varnashram, if they know Krishna, that makes them qualified to be guru. Let alone outside of that, they know it's the same thing. So they just take it in two parts. You know, because if you just say everybody, yeah, okay, everybody within the Brahman, no, all the way down to Shudras, okay. Okay, everyone in Varnashram, no, outside of that, even if they, you know, you have to... You know how it always, you know, says, yes, one chanting the holy name, you know, can destroy all this. And yeah, but that has to be a pure chanting, you know, and pure love of God rolling on the ground, then it'll have effect. No, it doesn't. That's just non-abhas. Right? That argument, that was Gopal Chapala's argument. Not a good position to take. It didn't work out good for Gopal Chapala. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's the thing, is we'll always try to put it within the context of good in the material world rather than good in the spiritual world. Good means it's connected to Krishna. Bad means it's not. So that's in the 11th canto. Then it says, piety means it's connected to Krishna for Krishna's satisfaction. Impiety means it's not. That's simple. Then, so because bhakti, that nature of the living entity, that devotion and all that nonsense, that then here, when it's not applied to Krishna, that becomes transformed into piety here. So then, basically the activities of bhakti that you would perform to please Krishna in the spiritual world, those become regulated rules to be engaged in activities that could be used in bhakti, though people aren't interested in bhakti. That's why it's pious. In other words, it's pious, let's say, to give in charity, because as a devotee, that would be a standard, like, just culture that you would do. So if someone's not a devotee, so they're going to do nonsense. You know, anything not connected with Krishna will be nonsense. But if they're willing to be regulate themselves and be pious, and in this case, give charity, then they get piety for that. They get benefit because it's actually some quality you would use in devotional service. So all piety, all good things in the world, anything that makes success anywhere is because it would be useful, in the principle of it would be useful in devotional service. And then the higher it is, the more sattva, generally the form of it's the same as in the spiritual world, but the mentality has changed. It's for yourself. In other words, I'm doing this because it gets the perfect result, but for me. Well, in the spiritual world, I do this because it gets the perfect result for Krishna. Then you get the transformations and distortions of that as people come down in the mode. So then the principle of it will be correct. Just like the Kali worshipper, the principle that he's following Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, he's restraining himself, he's worshipping the deity, he's following the rules, there's tapasya. Those things are what's elevating him and he's getting some result. But the external form of it that he's using, that's for people in the mode of ignorance. So it wouldn't be used in the spiritual world. But the principle is, so that means any principle that works anywhere in the cosmos, that's because it's connected with bhakti. And those things, then the recommended in the mode of goodness, then that will be closer to what they do in the spiritual world. Because the external form looks similar. But as you go into passion and ignorance, that's where it starts to distort. And then when you drop out of the Vedic, then it really gets distorted. You know that you hope. What is it? You know, you have the funny little glass, you know, like this, a big bowl like that, and small top, and you put some, particular darker colored liquids, and then you put it between this finger here and on your palm, and then you roll it, try to warm it. While the other ones, it's the same one, it's a longer stem, and the thinner thing, you only hold the stem, you do not touch that middle because you do not want to warm that liquid. So these kind of sophistications and, you know, of the civilized man, you know, these are quite distorted. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. So the principle that they're regulating, that there's a thing, that there's what gives the best effect, you know, for the thing itself, the senses, the situation, and all that, that principle is good. That's why they're considered better. But they think it's because of what they're doing. They don't understand it's because of the principles behind it. So they're more sophisticated, more civilized. So that aspect is better. But at the same time, as you see, in that becoming sophisticated like that, focusing on the senses so much, they tend to become atheistic. While the uncivilized or the simple person living out in the village or out in the forest won't have that kind of sophistication or civilization, but at least they know that there's some form of supreme, even though they have no idea who God is or what. And, you know, it's a big rock, a big tree. And I heard of one village where some particular owl. Maybe it was crocodiles or something. Yeah. They all think that when they die, they'll all become crocodiles. So they all respect and worship the crocodiles. Of course, they stay out of their way also, because, you know, you want granddad eating you. But like that. So they don't really know. There's an idea of supreme. But then somehow or another, as man gets civilized and brings in these aspects of how you say, science and arts and industry, then the problem is they also tend to get atheistic. Like that. So, there's always a problem there. But the point is, the principles that make it work, just like the ones that are the advantage of the uncivilized, that they have respect for this and that, but it's not based on any, it's just their local, what they do. Like a lot of times you see what they do, some of it's pretty crazy. It's like Prabhupada talks about that one village that when the person gets too old, then all the young guys, round them up and that, and they have a sport like this, and then they kill the guy, and then the whole village has a feast. They eat the guy, like I think it was, what was it? Maybe it was Captain Cook, when those guys went and they hit some of the local, probably the Maoris. They killed them and ate them. But because they respected them for being great warriors and everything, then that's why they won. They ate them, because if they're not great, who wants to eat these guys, it's like the Rakshasas. If somebody is ungrateful, a Rakshasa will not eat them. They'll kill them, but they won't eat them. So who would want to eat this guy? Like that. So they only eat people of character. And then they washed the bones, clept nicely, and respected them. So then when the next ship came along, then they came out in their boats and says, here's the bones of that. Because in their tradition, it's a very respectable and honorable thing. And somehow or another, I think it was Englishmen, they didn't appreciate the gesture like that. And they were very surprised. It's like, what? We're showing the highest respect. It's like... So that's the thing, they make it up. So that's why it says it's immoral, because it's just there. But that they follow it, then they have some regulation, and that will be their elevation. Though it may not be much, but it is an elevation. So that's when they veer from that, then it's a problem. So even, Prabhupada mentions that if someone has rules, even though the rules are totally bogus, you break them, you get a reaction. It's like, let's say you have a biker gang, and they have a rule, you never wash your pants. Like that. You wash your pants, you actually will get a reaction from it for the material nature, because you're breaking your own rule. Besides, getting a rash or, itches from, following that rule. But the point is that comes anyway, but you get worse because you've made the rule, you have to follow it. So in other words, you have a determination, you follow your determination, unless you're giving it up for a higher one. Does that make sense? Like that. If you move up in the consciousness from, anamoy to pranamoy, then you've given up one root for another, that's fine. But ultimately, it all won't give good results until you get to anandamoy.
In the third canto, the pastime of devotee, where is it located in terms of yogas? Is it at the beginning, after creation, the devotee gets married and she has a child, Kapiladeva comes?
I was thinking Kunti, and I was trying to think, Kardama is Prajapati, so they would be in that first day of Brahma.
So it's the early stages.
Yeah, and it's also very early stages of the whole creation.
Okay.
So when the Prajapatis are there, you don't necessarily I would think it would be all in the Satya aspect. Because the very beginning of Satya, you don't have to basically have any rules, because they're all Paramahamsas. They're going to follow that taste and of austerity and following the rules, that they won't. You don't have to have many rules, because they're not going to break and do any nonsense.
The reason why I'm making that point is because I've always been very surprised at devotee statements. The very famous verse about dogs and dog eaters. She's already foreseeing that they are such people.
No, but they may be there at that time. It's not necessarily that they're not there, but in the sutta you don't expect them to be there. But if they are, they're way out in the forest somewhere, but they're doing their thing, just because it's just like... But it's always there. Shastra mentions, it's always a cycle, so they're always there. So then they know where, it's just like the sages there at Nainishan, they're talking about what's happening at the end of Kali Yuga. You know, Prabhupada talks about that. Because Shastra says, so all those things are there. So being who they are, they'll have heard everything, because they've heard from Brahma. So Brahma's either their father or grandfather. So, you know, it's a pretty, you know, tight-knit group there. You know, so they've heard everything. So it's not like us who, you know, following, you know, one scripture or another is a lot for us.
Right.
It's for them, it's there's the Veda. So at that point there'd be one Veda. So that means everything together is all there. And from that contemplation they understand all things.
Right.
Like that. Yes, so yes, they know all those things about.
Because I remember reading those verses. How would she know there are so many fallen people, and you know, she's really expressing compassion.
Yeah. Because it's the material world. Material world means that. So if you're in the material world, you're already it's already a sad position on one side. Because one is here because of turning away from Krishna. But at the same time, the material world is glorious because it's Krishna's creation. It's designed to bring you back to Krishna. So it has both those things. So if you take advantage of it, you get that glory of it. And if you don't take advantage, then it's very sad, because then you just keep going down and down and down, you know, and then end of the line you end up as, you know, like a COVID germ or something. You don't get much lower than that. Maybe Ebola or something.
Like
that.
No?
Yeah, yeah. So as I was saying, there's more of them around. I could tell what people have been up to, right? So, yes. Because they'll know. They're always talking about these things. You see in other prayers also, they'll talk across. Because like in Mano, he talks all the yugas. It's for all the yugas. And then, let's say, Yajna Vaalpa, because Mano's the main. It's the main anyway of all the 20 Dharma Shastras. At least 20 main. You can say there's like 40 or something, but 20 main. It's the main one. In other words, if you know Mano, you know Dharma. Then other ones will focus on a certain age or a certain aspect. So Yajnavalkya and Parasara will focus on Kali Yuga. And that they're both there, they must be focusing on different aspects, bringing out different things. So it's there. Like in Mano, it'll mention if the girl was married, but her husband dies young, she doesn't have any children, then she could get married again. But that's all the more it says. It doesn't say any more than that. Parasara will then get into the details on that. You know, because for Kali Yuga, then. In the other ages, it would probably be much more rare, because they'd be more pious and these things wouldn't happen. But in Kali Yuga, you'll get more of this, so therefore there. Does that make sense? So, knowing the Shastras, you know all the things that go on. Just like in the essential Upanishads, they're already dealing with all this Mayavad and all this and that. Because people are taking it too far to oneness, too far to difference. And so it's trying to point out a Chintamaya Veda Tattva. But at least if you stay within that Vaishnav range, it's workable. It will take you to various aspects. You know, so in other words, you have a Chintamaya Veda Tattva. If you take this aspect more, you'll get this. If you like that, you'll get these different flavors, just like we said. If the Lord is interacting with particular consorts, you get one particular flavor. So you get Sankarsana. So if you get that, then you get this, this goal, you know, this place in Vaikuntha, or that place, or this place in Dwarka, or this place in Ayodhya, or like that. Does that make sense? But you see the whole thing together, that's Braj. Good. Okay. And even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to His being the supreme power. Right. So when you take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, then in their contact with the devotees, then you're contacting the Lord, and by His being the supreme power, therefore, then they're all elevated. So he always does things through devotees. This is the aspect of Bhagavan. He does things personally, you know, with devotees, and he accomplishes his aspects as Bhagavan through the devotees. Through Paramatma, then he has all his different energies. Okay, demigods do things, the planets are doing things, you know, everything's doing. But we see is that with Bhagavan, then he accomplishes these things through his devotees. But, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. By the grace, end quote, by the grace of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, anyone can be completely purified, become a preacher of Krishna consciousness, and become the spiritual master of the entire world. This principle is accepted in all Vedic literature. Evidence can be quoted from authoritative shastras showing how a low-born person can become the spiritual master of the entire world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be considered the most munificent personality, for he distributes the real essence of the Vedic shastras to anyone who becomes qualified by becoming his sincere servant. 3585. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached about devotional service, ecstatic love, and the absolute truth by making Ramanandarai, a grihastha born in a low family, the speaker. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the exalted Brahmana Sannyasi, and Prajumna Misra, the purified Brahman, both became the hearers of Ramanandarai. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Amrita Pravaha Pasya that sannyasis in the line of Shankaracharya always think that they have performed all the duties of Brahmanas, and that furthermore, having understood the essence of the Vedanta Sutra and become sannyasis, they are the natural spiritual masters of all society. Similarly, persons born in Brahmin families think that because they execute the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Vedas and follow the principles of Smriti, they alone can become spiritual masters of society. These highly exalted Brahmanas think that unless one is born in a Brahmin family, one cannot become a spiritual master and teach the absolute truth. To cut down the pride of these birthright Brahmanas and Mayavad sannyasis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved that a person like Ramanandarai, although born in the Shudra family and situated in the Grihastha ashram, can become the spiritual master of such exalted personalities as himself and Prajumna Misra. This is the principle of the Vaishnava cult, as evidenced in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, so we specifically, you know, bring this out. But any of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, you see, they'll always have, this point will always be brought out. Though much of the time, we see, even here, even the Gaudiyas, just socially, people are so strong and fixed in the position that they just follow along with that. But it's not that they think that that's the standard. So you'll see that also in other Sampradayas. That, you know, whatever's going on, they'll go with that. But they understand the principle. A person who knows what is spiritual and what is material and who is firmly fixed in the spiritual position can be Jagat Guru, spiritual master of the entire world. One cannot become a Jagat Guru simply by advertising oneself as Jagat Guru without knowing the essential principles for becoming Jagat Guru. Even people who never see what a Jagat Guru is and never talk with other people become puffed up sannyasis and declare themselves Jagat Gurus. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like this. Any person who knows the science of Krishna and is fully qualified in spiritual life can become Jagat Guru. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took lessons from Ramanandarai and also sent Prajumna Misra as an exalted Brahman to take lessons from him. Right, so this also is the important thing, is that Prabhupada is talking about Jagat Guru becoming the spiritual master, but what is the position of, what kind of spiritual master are we talking about here? Because it says one can therefore, one's Jagat Guru for the whole planet, meaning they can instruct the whole planet. So in other words, the Siksha Guru is actually the prominent element, because on the Bhagavat platform, there's only Siksha. Like that. The Siksha is the Diksha. Just that you heard, that's the connection. But of course, you have to be liberated to fully take advantage of that. Pancharatrik system then has that aspect that that's the most important, because that's what Diksha is, hearing the instructions, but there is also the ritualistic aspect of initiation. So that the conditioned soul understands he's got a connection, he has a guru. Otherwise, if we just say it's hearing, you hear from this one today, then when they say something you don't like, oh, now I'm hearing from this one, and you know, oh, this one's my guru. But I thought you said that was your guru. Oh, that was 2 weeks ago. You know, and then someone else says, but wasn't it this guy? Oh, that was 2 years ago. Yeah. You know, so to avoid that, therefore the Pancharatric system is there. But even the Vedic system is just siksha. Even the Vedic diksha is just siksha. The only in Pancharatra you have that aspect of diksha. They call it diksha, but it's not because then it doesn't have the same rules. So, therefore, that's what it means. Anybody from any background, they can be the instructor for anybody on the planet. That's the important thing. So the siksha is the most important, but that's generally appreciated by those who understand the philosophy, understand the etiquette, understand these things, have faith in the devotional process. Don't look at things through a social kaleidoscope, you know, a socio-political, economic kaleidoscope. You know, so then this will be very much understood. But then that means that people have to respect people based on that. Does that make sense? You know, so someone who is prominent and preaching like that, doesn't matter what their background, they're an authority in that. You know, like it means, as we're hearing it, Prahlad Mars is a kid, but he's a guru for the universe. Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking is that nowadays also, because devotees are insecure, then diksha makes them feel, it's not necessarily what it is actually,
mm-hmm.
but it makes them feel
yes.
more secure.
Yes.
So they go for diksha, which is okay.
No, but the point is that everybody in the Pancharatric lines gets diksha. That's the way it works. But the point is the diksha means now you're committed to hearing the instruction. It means you've taken initiation, now you have to listen to what they have to say. That's the whole point, you know. So. But for the liberated persons, like we see the six Goswamis, they hear from Lord Chaitanya, and they're, Prabhupada says, direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya. He says that over and over again. The six Goswamis are the direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, and so then that's the lines. It's a Bhagavad connection. Right. Then they have their temples, and then the pujaris in their temples, then they follow that Pancharatrik, and then the diksha, they become a diksha pranali line, rather than a siksha. Like an Arparampara that we show, that's a siksha pranali. It may also be diksha, like some of them are diksha, but it's not necessarily. It's the siksha connection. Like Madhvacharya and Vyas. That's not necessarily, that's not a diksha connection, because we know, was it something Purna? Ghosty Purna? Or
no,
Anandatirtha. No, that was Anandatirtha, is his name.
Yeah, Purna Pragya.
Purna Pragya. Yeah, that's his diksha guru. You know? But that's not where the line's going, because it's the siksha that has to come down from Krishna. So the siksha is coming down like this. At the same time, is if that gets too emphasized, then anyone will take from anywhere. So that's the thing, you always have to balance. So you always have to, that's the thing here. So it means everybody should have, that's the whole process. But what I'm meaning here is that if devotees would appreciate this siksha value, they would respect and value senior devotees for their preaching and for their, you know, their dedication, their knowledge, their devotion, their sacrifice, all that, then you wouldn't necessarily have this whole thing, is that unless you're a diksha guru, then you have no position. You know? That means the problem comes up because of neophytes, but the solution is also neophyte. So it's never going to really give it's always going to cultivate that political kind of circle.
The actual issue is boiling on at the moment.
But it's always been boiling.
And now it's full of the pot and going onto the stove. And mopping on the floors.
Okay.
And it's that there is a fear that as the first generation of proper disciples depart, so will the preeminence of Srila Prabhupada in the life of the new generations.
Okay.
But there's an apprehension.
Okay, there's an apprehension.
But
that's because those persons saying that don't appreciate and understand Prabhupada's position.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. The very people who are saying that
as
Prabhupada's disciples don't actually understand who Prabhupada is.
Right.
So therefore they think that will happen. Because in Ramanuja Sampradaya, you talk to anybody from the Sampradaya, they're only talking Ramanujacharya. They never talk about their guru.
Right.
If you ask them, who is your guru? Then they'll, like that, and they'll say the name of their guru. But they only talk what Ramanuja said. Madhvas only talk what Madhva said. Nimbarkas just talk with him. Balavas just talk what they said. So if you understand what's going on, what is a founder acharya, there's no problem. But the problem is there's no understanding of what's founder acharya.
Yes.
So that's why. So the danger is the next generations will pick up their lack of understanding the founder acharya and then carry it on. But the nice thing about it is there's a better chance that these later generations will appreciate Prabhupada's position than many of those today. Sad to say.
Why do you think that is?
Because they don't think, he's my guru. Yeah, Prabhupada and I, we used to, hang out and this and that. We sat in the car together and we did. They don't have that.
Prabhupada told me.
Yeah, Prabhupada told me, and no one else knows. And things like that. So you don't have that. So it's easy. Otherwise, why is it since 86, when it was presented of Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya, it still hasn't become the way of viewing Prabhupada?
Exactly.
Otherwise, why would they on any day of the week, at any time, any moment, any nanosecond, ever even consider changing one syllable of Prabhupada's books? That means they don't know who Prabhupada is, the founder of Acharya. End of discussion. He wouldn't let us touch Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's books, so why would we touch these? And the excuse is but people don't understand. Which people? The Mayaya Pratigyanas, the Naradamas, the Asuras, the Mudhas? These are the ones that don't understand, and we're going to change Prabhupada's books for them, and they'll still not join. So in other words, we have to be able to accept that you heard something or saw something, therefore you didn't join. That's because you're sinful. You did not have this jnata sukriti to take up devotional service. That's why you didn't join. Because thousands of others heard all that and they joined anyway. So they always think is, no, I'm so wonderful, but I met the devotees, but then this guy said this and I didn't join for another 1.5 years. Did that point change? People aren't saying that still? No. By chanting, by associating, by reading, you got the Agata Sukriti. You joined. So they just want to say, I'm fabulous, and the reason I didn't join was someone else's fault. I'm kicking myself. I'm sitting there where my father lived, and I'd go visit him twice a year, was 5 blocks from the L.A. temple. 5 blocks. And I used to go out on walks for, 10 blocks. I could have bumped into them. I could have walked down that road. It was definitely main road here, down over here. That's it. 2 main roads that if you just walked here and there, you're at the temple. I never went that way. I always walked out. Instead of going left, I always walked right.
You didn't smell the incense?
No, nothing. And I remember when I went to L.A. and they're driving down the road. I says, I know these roads. And then she says, you mean 2 blocks down that? I mean, I'd gone that way. 2 blocks that way was the temple. Didn't have the Sukritis.
Right.
And even before that, the area where he worked, devotees were down in that area in Duhari Nam. I never saw them. Why not? Lacking Sukriti. So it took so many more years before you get it. And then, bang, they start coming to my door. banging on the door. They came by, gave a book to me. I bought a book, and I'm thinking, wow. That's the funny thing. Shaved head, T-lock, mud on their foreheads, bright orange bed sheets. That was perfectly normal. What I thought was weird was orange Converse, tennis shoes. Why would they dye them orange? That was what I thought. The rest of it was fine. And then, you know, I got a VTG. Okay, good. I put it on the coffee table. That disappeared. You know, mom saw that. Uh-oh. Yeah, threw it out. But then they went up the same street, and then, you know, my friend lived two blocks away. He bought a book, and as a joke, he gave it to me. I carried that book with me everywhere I went. Didn't matter where I went, I had that in my bag. Never read it. It was in my bag. I could have opened it and seen the list of temples on the edge. Never. It's just... So, by that time now, this is some years later from the early ones, that enough Sukriti to get the book. And then I looked at the cover. It was so, it's on the way to Krishna? No.
On the way to Krishna.
Not on the way to Krishna. The one with the yogi?
Oh, the other day.
Easy journey to other planets. So the yogi's sitting there with the long hair and that, and then the lotus, there was Radha Krishna. I didn't see Radha Krishna. I just saw the yogi. And I said, one day I'm going to be that. I didn't know what that meant. So, yeah. It was only after I joined that I noticed Radha Krishna were in the lotus. So it's just a matter of Sukriti. And we're trying to blame it all on this technical thing and that political thing and that economic and this, you know, social, you know. No. Yes?
It means Tattvavadis were right.
With who?
Tattvavadis, they were right. They were right because they didn't preach. Is that people will anyway join those who are pious men?
That's there, but their reason for that is not like... I can see the segue there to another community that thinks the same ways, but the basic thing is that they're saying only those in the goodness, they'll come anyway, so you don't have to preach. But the point is even if that was there, why not preach to that subject community and get there? Because the point is it's by association. So it's by then, you know, you carry around a book. You know, you're hanging out with this book, so slowly, slowly, Prabhupada said, you know, the time bombs. You sit in your house, somebody's going to get some benefit. You know, like that. You see, is that the place where I worked, there was these, like a the hippie mall. You know, before there were malls, the hippies had a mall, so they buy a big, like, warehouse, then everybody sets up little shops, and they have a stage there, they do program. So, Prabhupada did the program at that place. Hmm. But it was not on the night that I worked there. You know, so I didn't see it. You know, probably where I worked and where Prabhupada would be sitting would basically be from here to that door. That close, you know. But no. And then the cooperative where I used to go and buy all the, you know, the organic vegetables and all that, you know, you had to work. You know, you had to put in 2 hours a week and to be able to buy there. Prabhupada stayed upstairs. You know, the hippies lived upstairs that ran the co-op. He stayed there for when he did that program. So, the shop that I bought all my vegetables from went there every day. I never saw them. The place where I worked, he came, didn't see it. You know, the book disappeared. And only the friend, as a joke, gave me the book. It wasn't that he was serious, hey, you know, get into this. You know, it was like, you know, he thought, okay, this is funny, you know. So it's just, it just takes time. That's all. So this whole thing is, no, if the devotees had been this, I would have joined her. You can't say that. Then you're saying you're in control of this. It's karma. No, bhakti's independent. You know, well, you know, his, you know, favorite example, Madhavendra. He's never met the devotees. Walking along, sees a festival, you know, throws his bag up on Subhadra's cart, goes down, stays for the whole festival. Then the devotees are cleaning up, helps them clean up. Then when they pack up and go to the temple, he goes with them. That was it. He never went, never left. Now that's Sukriti.
Like Mahārāja Chaitanya Devi. Mahārāja Chaitanya, the Israeli devotee.
Okay.
He was a famous ping pong athlete.
Okay.
So he went to Amsterdam to compete.
Uh-huh.
And before the competition, he was walking down the street, bumping into the Harana. They gave him a sweet bowl.
That was it.
Tennis ball, sweet ball.
Yeah. This one's much heavier. This one's heavier.
That was it?
Yeah. Yeah, so like that. So it's just, all this thing is, oh, it's this and that. Then why are you in this mood? You're here and you've been talking about this for the last 40 years. Is that why are you still here? You know, thousands joined and they couldn't care less about this. You know? So that's the thing is that until one appreciates who the founder Acharya, what that means, it means The founder acharya means all the acharyas, all the teachings in that sampradaya, right? In the Kali Yuga. The founder acharya makes them accessible. And therefore that those teachings of the sampradaya become universal. That's the founder acharya. He's not just another guru. Okay, he's a nitya siddha, and so that's what's Prabhupada special about. What do you mean? They're all nitya siddhas. Every last one of our acharyas. They're all associates of the Lord. You know, and even if they, like mentions, I don't know if it comes up here or if we came across it before, then Prabhupada mentions of the six Goswamis, Rupa and Rati, they were, you know, always nitya siddha. And then Sanatana Goswami was Sadhana Siddha. So in other words, the other four had come into the material world, you know, went back to Godhead, developed their love for Krishna, their prema, and then came back, you know, along with Rupa and Rati as the six Goswamis.
So that's later the Prabhupada went to Jadurani and he explains that Rupa and Rati are Nitya Siddhas. Sanatana Goswami is Sadhakas.
Yeah. So like that, but now they're on that. So once they come to that platform, you don't make any distinction. So therefore, we see when you talk about the six Goswamis, we talk about them all on that same transcendental position. But Prabhupada's pointing out, they never, the others did. So that's the whole point, is therefore everybody, all of our acharyas in our line, they're all Krishna's pastimes. And they come here to do like that. So, you know, this thing's, oh, well, how can you say that? It's Bhakti Siddhanta Sarvam. Why would you say that? You know, why not Rupa Goswami? You know, it's his line. We're all Rupa Nugas. So that's the whole thing, is they get into this whole thing of that, you know, no, it's you know, your Srila Prabhupada. No, it's our Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, it's just like, you know. So that means they can't understand. Or they're not understanding. They could understand, but they're not understanding. It's not taken as, okay, well, Prabhupada, he's special, he's there, he's that, you know, then you see the book that came out, the official book. But it's not bringing out this point. It's just bringing out some shlokas that are there, important, and showing that he's there and he's special. So he's special, and, you know, and that, but the problem is it's also, I become special because I'm connected. Rather than it's his instructions that are special. I am, you know, very fortunate to have that personal relationship. But everybody else in this con has the same personal relationship. You know, as far as personal goes. That means you're unique in how you have your person, but the others will have theirs also. Prabhupada said this, and it's gone in the spiritual sky. So everybody that follows Prabhupada will be with Prabhupada in the spiritual world. You know, along with the devotees that they know, their spiritual master, their friends. You know, so it's a very personal thing. So if that's not understood, in other words, if you understand this point, so many problems go away. Just like it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, as soon as you accept that Brahman has qualities, most all your philosophical problems go away. Basically all your problems go away. Because the Maya bodies have problems because they can't accept that. Or others then look at it, it's not about the qualities, it's about, you know, his lordship or this or that, or about he's unlimited, or, you know, no, you accept the qualities. Then in other words, you accept Bhagawan and his qualities and his relationship with the devotees, all the philosophical points get adjusted. So same way, when you understand Prabhupada's the founder of Acharya, what that means, everything else becomes adjusted. Otherwise, you know, yeah, Prabhupada was there, he did that at that time, but, you know, things are different now. It's like, what's different? You know, it's like, it's somehow that there's like, it's our Kali Yuga. You know, it's like, you know, we make it happen. You know, it's kind of like, you know, get with the programs. The modes of nature make it happen. You know? So that's the whole thing, you know. It's just, so that's the big problem. You know, people talk succession. That's the big problem, because they don't understand what leadership means. If you're a leader, you already have succession. If you don't have succession and you're talking about it, means you're not leading in such a way that it is. So they think, no, it's about this and that, or you have to have a school or training. No, it's not. You lead, people follow, you have succession. And because you're doing that, after another so many years, then they have people that are following them. And after so many years, they have people that are following them. No? You know, it's just like you have in Europe, big leaders left, the zone goes on. Why? Because the next ones that were there leading, then they just take up that position. And the ones that were in the third, they move up to the second. It's just automatic. So it's just a matter of understanding.
That's because Prabhupada is still there.
It's always there.
Yeah.
Point is that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's that you know about Haridas Thakur, he who uses ill. You know.
Yes.
Like that. The point is it's his instructions. That's the whole point. You follow that. You know. So yeah, and it has unlimited problems it can have. That's why I say you correct that. So many details just disappear. They just evaporate. Yes.
I mean, it's a really big topic, and it's quite hot at the moment.
But the fun part is this was discussed back in the 80s. Then again in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what was it, you know, I forget how many years ago. It wasn't so long ago, about 8 years or something, then 6 years or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they established
have been
there,
made the book.
Yeah, but
nobody made the book. He wrote that.
Yeah.
Like that. But we already had that point was already there back in the 80s.
Yes. And they're revising it now. They're finding so many things they want to change.
For the better or worse?
Oh, who knows?
Richer or poorer? Happiness or health?
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that why it's not hot, it's actually like Prabhu mentioned, it's boiling. And why it is boiling? You know, there are multiple problems, let's say, but the main problem, why it is boiling, it's always hot. But it's boiling right now because the second generation, or if you call it first generation from Srila Prabhupada, if we take Srila Prabhupada as a first, then
his disciples.
It's the second generation.
Means his disciples?
His disciples.
Disciples, disciples.
No, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.
First generation.
Their
first
generation.
First generation.
Their first generation.
Yeah.
So the if they're from Gaudiya Math, then they'll call it for Prabhupada.
Yeah.
But we're not.
Yeah. So then the first generation is disappearing. The Dhanadhar Swami calls it the popcorn effect.
The popcorn.
Popcorn. You know, it's like.
Okay.
Yeah. The whole thing is. So it's. And COVID took, you know, quite a few, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So why this boiling is that. It's like you mentioned, but Prabhu also made the point that those who actually met physically Founder Acharya, whether understanding his position as the Founder Acharya or not, it doesn't really matter for this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's they didn't have to build a frame of reference; they directly saw it.
Mm-hmm.
They saw Prabhupada in action,
mm-hmm.
and they learned directly from him.
Mm-hmm.
So he, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, wrote all the commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have it like forever, for at least 10,000 years. That's mm-hmm. that's his mm-hmm. legacy.
Yes.
And we preserved it quite nicely, we can say. But then the difficulty is that the first generation who had a direct experience going. And now the second generation, us,
mm-hmm.
the disciples of the disciples, we don't have the frame of reference that the first generation had. So we have teachings of Srila Prabhupada, but we don't have the frame of reference. Also, I was challenged by Tamal Krishna Maharaj 20 years back. It was a conversation, but the main point that he made, he said, who understands the intent of Srila Prabhupada? Even those who saw him directly, not necessarily, of course, he claimed he did. I mean, it's like.
Otherwise, how does he know it's not me?
Exactly. That was his claim. But he said, who knew Srila Prabhupada? Who actually had some direct association? And those, among those, very few realized the intent.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like four points First, we have the teachings of the founder Acharya, mm-hmm. which is everybody has basically. It's mm-hmm. available for everybody. Mm-hmm. Then we have the frame of reference. Mm-hmm. It's limited to his disciples, and even amongst his disciples, you know, some got it more.
Some don't.
Some didn't get nothing.
So that's the third, and then the fourth one is.
And then the fourth.
And the fourth one is TKG.
So we have the why it's all discussed because we have a problem, and I heard directly.
No. We have a problem because we're not discussing.
Yeah.
Means, in other words, you had devotees talk about Prabhupada's pastime, but are they bringing out necessarily the depth of the teaching that's there?
Yeah.
I mean, some do,
yeah.
But some is just the pastime.
Yeah, because it's easy.
It's easy. But the point is, the purports are there. Are we talking about going into the depth of what the purport, what Prabhupada's trying to say? Not trying to say what he is saying.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. How much do you see people talking about the founder Acharya? They talk about the founder Acharya just because he's my guru, and so therefore my guru is better than your guru. You know, because your guru, you know, I made a devotee, so therefore my guru is better than your guru.
Yeah.
You know. Does that make, you know?
Yeah.
But that's talked about in Bhajan Rahasya.
Yeah.
You know. Means, in other words, this has always been a problem. It's not that it's new. We're dealing with it as it's a new problem. It's always been a problem. All these things like that. So therefore, Maharaj Chakravarti. Then he points out is that, you know, my guru's special because he's connected to me. Because I took, you know, it's just like someone is here, took initiation here, my guru is this, and they're making a whole big stink and whole politics about it. Then if they leave and go somewhere else and take shelter of another guru, then that's the guru and they're making a whole big scene in politics. What happened to this guy? No, he's not connected to me anymore. That's the reality. So he points that out as that's why you have that problem amongst the devotees. Is because it's self-centered. It's not centered on Prabhupada. It's not Prabhupada-centered. They're saying, oh, if you're not using the word Prabhupada or this or that. No, it's about the teachings. You know, just like, for how many is the seven purposes of ISKCON important? When do you ever hear anybody talk about it? That's the fundamentals of you're talking about structure of the movement. That's already written. Prabhupada already thought out what it is, and then how much goes, then all the instructions that he gives on the society and that fit into those seven and combinations. In other words, those seven very nicely make clear groups, but those groups all overlap. So you have a temple, it'll do two or three of those. You have the BBT, it does that particular one of those. You have something else, it does another like that. And so, you know, if you center it on that, but like if you talk about, you know, Ramanuja, they're talking about those things. You know, does that make sense? That's why I'm saying maybe the second generation, because the problem is you know, how do you say it? Third generation will be different.
The difficulty was when I heard...
Because if we say 10,000 years, it doesn't mean we're going to do it. It means it develops for, you know, so many thousands of years and reaches the pinnacle and then the golden age. Because that golden age is set. And then, you know, gradually to go down. So in other words, you know it's going forward because this much, misunderstanding or, doubts and all that. If it wasn't moving forward, this would be the destruction. So you know these are going to be the discussions after 10,000 years. These will be the points that will destroy the movement. It'll just evaporate. But because it's going forward, as Prabhupada said, it's going to happen. Lord Chaitanya says every town and village, it will happen. Not a question of, oh, it can't, and oh, if you do it this way, it won't happen. And it will happen. It's just who will get the credit. You know, Kurukshetra. Krishna's already removed everybody. Now, if Arjuna wants to take part, then he can be the hero. Or he won't. Someone else will do it. You know? Or, you know, Ghatotkacha will drop a big rock on everybody and Haribol. Business done, you know? You know? So it's going to happen. So the whole point is do we want to take part? or, you know, or are political issues more important? Because these discussions, if you're saying it's boiling over, that means it's not spiritual. You know? Well, you know, otherwise, what's underlying it? What's going to think? There may be an interest to take it in that way, but because of our misunderstanding, there's a prejudice that's there that's making us not appreciate the actual transcendental position. Because the fun part is you know, if you say those who got that personal, the devotees from the 60s generally don't have these problems. It's those from later, they may have. But those from the 60s, they were Prabhupada. They don't understand all the technical philosophy that those later know. They just know Prabhupada said do this and that's all. And they can't understand, what are you talking about? Like I had one senior devotee a couple of years ago, I mean really senior, you know, back from the 60s, said, what's all this Varnashram stuff that you guys talk about in the group? What are you talking about, you know? You know, or, you know, what's this school for? What are you doing? You know, like that. When you explain it, this, that, then, oh, okay. You know, you explain it in the context of what Prabhupada's, you know, wanted to do. Okay, great. And that was it. So there's they don't get into these things because it's like Prabhupada's someone very close to them. They had that. So even you're saying, you know, Prabhupada's disciples, but like you said, how many? So many got initiated and never even saw Prabhupada. The ones that were personally there with Prabhupada right in the beginning, sitting with him and, you know, doing those things with him, generally they just remember those moments and from that they just do their service. And anything coming along later, even if Prabhupada introduced it because they weren't involved in it, it doesn't resonate with them. But they just stick to that and they stick to that as perfect. And you hear so many stories of, you say Prabhupada comes to take them. You know, and it's not told by them, it's told by other devotees who are there, you know. So you know, I mean, when they left, you know, and so like that, or, you know, as I think with Sudama, you know, probably came and asked, you know, where's Sudama? So that aspect is these are all excuses. The teaching is eternal. You know, otherwise, then why? You know, how many thousand years is it since Bhagavad Gita was spoken? Does it have any relevance in anybody's life today? Can they say, "Well, I wasn't there when it was spoken on the battlefield," but it still has relevance. Bhagavatam's there. Some of the teachings between Brahma and Narad, those are 151 trillion years old. That story, literally. You know, the Daksha Yagya, it's about that old also. So, so many of them go back that far. It's just outstanding stories over 151 trillion years. So you can understand, except for the Vaishnavas, nothing really happened of significance in the material world. 151 trillion years of history. And the only thing that stands out is these few ones. You know? And so that's the whole point, is it's eternal, it's always relevant. This whole point, oh, Prabhupada's not here, so it's changed. What happened to eternal? Whose place is it? What is this made out of? You know? Did Biden put this together? He signed a paper saying that this desk could work, you know? Wood works like this and all that. When you drop it, wood makes that sound. He made that? Or Krishna? 5,000 years ago? Same. 1,000,000 years ago? 151 years ago, last universe, last time Mahavishnu breathed out, when Narad Muni was a maidservant, it's eternal. So this idea that it changes, that means you're thinking under the control of the modes of nature. Krishna gave it; it never changes. Prabhupada is simply trying to make us aware of what's there. So if we think that that time's going to have an effect, is in the spiritual world, time has no effect other than enhancing the pastimes. This thing that suddenly becomes the past, that's material thinking. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura made that statement. So Prabhupada's instructions are as relevant today as they were when he was personally present. And if we accept that, then you can take part in that 10,000 years. And if you don't, then you'll take part as good as you can. Because the point is they are surrendered to Prabhupada. They are trying to do the best they can. And if they remember, Krishna will go back to Godhead. And anything to work out will be worked out there. That's why then you have all those, the 10 demons, that will work out these problems. You know? So just one doesn't have to worry that it won't work or can't work, because it always worked. It's Krishna's. We say, oh, it's Kali Yuga. It's Krishna's Kali Yuga. Did the EU sign a bill that there'd be Kali Yuga and this is how it's going to work? You know? Because if they did, they should offer more respects to the pygmies, because, you know, that's the future. You know? But, you know. So the whole thing is it's eternal. These things are eternal. The laws are eternal. I was thinking about it the other day. Science is based on that everything's by chance. And how they prove everything's by chance are by following eternal laws that go back to the time of the Big Bang. But if it was chance, it could have been completely different. If it's chance, you don't even know what happened back then. So you can only say is, when these laws come into effect, we can have some understanding. If they're going to be honest. Right? But that they say that there are these eternal laws you can base it on, that means there has to be, like Baba said, a lawmaker. So it means they don't change. It doesn't matter. Pure devotional service works no matter what age it is. Doesn't matter Satya Treta Dwapara Kali. It always works. That's the point. So the thing is it's made into a bigger issue than it actually should be, because it doesn't need to be. It means we have, you know, plenty of issues. How to become a pure unalloyed devotee of the Lord by following the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. That's to be the discussion. Because you can go on discussing this forever and they'll never get it together. You know? They were discussing succession back in the 80s. You know? And the person's discussing it, where is it? And the persons who just do things, they already have so many generations after them. So it's just, these are, what do you call it? It's a term that's used. It means that facts, it just, that's the way it is. Yeah. That means you can't technically argue with them. They're just, that's the way it is.
Axioms?
Yeah. There's a specific, what comes to mind is something unassailable, but I think they use something else.
Immutable,
something like that. That's just the way they are. Now, for us, is that, but we doubt that, so we're still on the platform of Shravana. But the point is you're supposed to take it that Prabhupada said it. Okay, Prabhupada's important. Then he said it. Go into a manana. How to apply that in the life? How to apply that? Not, don't doubt it. You keep doubting it. How can you apply it? You can't apply something until you give up the doubt. And then you apply it, you see how it works. Did it work perfectly? Did it work how Prabhupada's talking about it? If not, you keep adjusting till it does. Right? Following the thing. Then when it does work, and you've done it for a while, you get the experience. That's called realization. Then you value it. Now you can give that to the next generation. So unless you have needy dhyasana, how do you give it to the next generation? So what are we going to give them? Doubts about in Shravana? About, you know, what Prabhupada said? So the point is, they're doubting what Prabhupada said. How are they going to, what value is Prabhupada going to mean to these others? You are fixed in what Prabhupada said. That you can give to someone else. You can only give something you have. Confirmed. The modern tick-tick. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.